This is the final week of our Don't Give Up series. The purpose of this series was to develop or strengthen our faith in Jesus, because that faith gives us the confidence to keep believing, the courage to keep going, and the motivation to not give up. I hope that many of you benefited from this series, but I'm also guessing that some of you are still struggling with your faith, that some of you are wondering why your faith is not as strong as you think it should be at this point in your life. Well, today I want to encourage you, but I also want to challenge you with something called the cumulative effect. Now, most of you have heard this phrase, but I want to define it anyway. According to Merriam-Webster, the dictionary, a cumulative effect is an effect that occurs from something happening over a long period of time. To be more specific, it's an effect caused by a series of repeated actions where the greater effect is bigger than the effect of those individual actions. In other words, over time, if you take specific repeated actions over and over and over again, it will result in a greater combined effect than those individual actions. A cumulative effect can be beneficial or it can be detrimental. And I'm going to give you an example of each. The first example is medication. And let's use high blood pressure for an example. If you take a medication for the very first time to treat your high blood pressure, and you take a blood pressure measurement that day, it's most likely that you will see no change to the readings that you took before you started that medication. However, if you take that medication every day for a month and your body responds appropriately, you will see a significant change in the blood pressure readings compared to that previous month. And that's because of the cumulative effect of that medication. That medication has accumulated in your body and it has resulted in a greater combined effect than if you took only one dose of that medication. And this cumulative effect is very beneficial to your health. Now, I'll stick with health for the second example, and that's smoking cigarettes. If you smoke one cigarette, your body has the ability to metabolize and remove any toxic substances so that you will not have any long-term negative effects. However, if you continue to smoke cigarettes, you will lose that ability because you will begin to damage those areas of your body that are responsible for removing the toxins. So the cumulative effect of years and years of smoking will lead to a greater combined effect than if you smoked one cigarette one time. And in this case, this cumulative effect is detrimental to your health. Let me give you another example of cumulative effect, and that is our faith in Jesus. Because it takes time to grow and mature in our faith. It takes a series of repeated actions to result in a greater combined effect on our faith. I think of Hebrews chapter 11. That is a list of historical figures in the Old Testament that exemplify their faith in God. Now, did they get on that list because of their one-day faith journey? No, they are on that list because of the cumulative effect of their entire life of faith. And the same goes for us. If we want to have a persevering, confident, courageous, motivated faith, we need to have a series of repeated actions in our life. We need to examine what we want our faith to look like. Do we want to grow in God? And then we need to take the necessary actions to get there so that we have a cumulative effect on our faith. Now, before I get into a deeper discussion of our faith, I want to give you one more example of the cumulative effect, and it relates to Palm Sunday, which is today. Today is the day that Christians celebrate the arrival of Jesus into Jerusalem during the Jewish celebration of Passover, 5 days before he was crucified. People began to hear that he was coming to Jerusalem, so they began to line the paths that led into the city. And when they saw him coming, they began to lay down their coats on the path. They began to lay down palm branches on his path. And if you've never wondered why they did that, I'll tell you. There was a tradition in the Near East that anytime somebody worthy of highest honor, typically royalty, was coming to your town, you would meet them outside of your town, and you would cover their path with your coats. Now, palm branches were specific to the Jewish culture. They represented triumph and victory to the Jewish people. And in the first century AD, it also represented their desire to achieve political freedom from the Roman Empire. You see, they were under the thumb of the Roman Empire. And I bring that up because they saw Jesus as the king who was going to be responsible for saving them out of their current situation. But unfortunately, that was not the case. But could you imagine the anger that this caused the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem? Here comes this troublemaker, this blasphemer, this cult leader, Jesus, coming into our city, our capital city of Jerusalem. And these people are treating him like royalty? This is just another nail in the proverbial coffin for Jesus, according to them. Now, did the Jewish people celebrate Jesus for something he did that day? Or were they celebrating him for the cumulative effect of his 3 years of ministry? Were they celebrating him for one individual act? Or were they celebrating him for the cumulative effect of all his actions? I think you know the answer. Jesus didn't just show up one day, heal a few people, say some profound things, claim he was the Messiah, and people believed. No, he had to spend some time. He had to create a series of specific actions so that people would believe in who he claimed to be. It was his repeated teachings of the truth that convinced people of his identity. It was his repeated healings that proved to people he was not a fake. It was his repeated acts of love and kindness that convinced people that he said he is who he said he is. And today, we are still celebrating that fact. If you think about it, today we are celebrating a 2,000-year-long cumulative effect of Jesus' ministry. I think that conveys the significance of Palm Sunday. But I want to get back into the theme of this message. Don't give up. The second half of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, and the first half of verse 2 says, "And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith." The cumulative effect of Jesus' ministry caused the writer of Hebrews to refer to him as the pioneer and perfecter of faith. And that's exactly who he is. Now, by definition, a cumulative effect must start with an initial action. There must be a starting point. With regards to our faith, there must be an initial belief. And that belief is in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We must believe in the second half of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross and scorned its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." We need to believe that to be true. And there's other things that we need to believe. There are essential doctrines of the Christian faith that we need to believe in if we are going to call ourselves Christians. And I'm going to use the Apostles' Creed to list those beliefs because it's very concise. Many of you know this creed. You probably have it memorized, but I'm going to read it anyway. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven to sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Now, if you don't understand every single statement in this creed, I encourage you to look into it, because I simply wanted to list the essential beliefs of Christianity. And it's another reason why I titled this message The Cumulative Effect, because these beliefs, just like our faith, don't grow overnight. It takes time for us to believe in some of these statements. So what I want to do today is I want to give you some practical ways to help you grow in your faith, to one day believe in every single statement of that creed. The first practical way to help you grow your faith is one step at a time. Now, I know this is a cliche, one step at a time, but to explain it with regards to this message, I want to give you an illustration from modern society, and that is step counting. How many steps do I need to take in a day to burn a certain amount of calories, to lose a certain amount of weight, to maintain an active, healthy lifestyle? And we have pedometers that we can wear or use on our phones to count those steps for us. And this is a great way to maintain a healthy lifestyle. My question is, what is the purpose of step counting? To accumulate a certain amount of steps to achieve a desired goal. Studies have shown that if you want to maintain a healthy lifestyle as an adult, you should take about 10,000 steps per day. Now, if you have a greater goal to lose a certain amount of weight, to burn a certain amount of calories, you will want to increase this number. So let's just say that you want to take 15,000 steps per day. Would the process be to take 10,000 steps one day and then take 15,000 steps the next day? Well, if you want to be discouraged, that's a great method to go with. But my suggestion is to gradually increase the number of steps. Literally take one step at a time. And the same goes for our faith. If I asked each of you if you wanted a stronger faith, I am guessing that almost all of you would say yes. And this is not an insult. I think we should all strive to have a stronger faith. And there's reasoning behind it. Jesus is the perfecter of faith. Jesus is perfection. He is perfect in all things. As a Christian, by definition of the word, we should be striving to be more like Christ. We should want to become more Christ-like, so we should be trying to achieve perfection. However, because of original sin, attaining perfection is impossible, but it shouldn't stop us from wanting to be more like Christ. So it's only natural that we should want to grow in our faith. We should want a stronger faith. We should want to become more like Jesus. However, to grow in our faith and become more like Jesus, we need to take one step at a time, one action at a time, one Bible verse at a time, one act of generosity at a time, one act of love at a time. And each of those steps may seem small, but if you put them together into the cumulative effect of all of those steps, you will experience a greater combined effect on your faith. Now, the one thing we have to be reminded of is that we can't just take any steps. We must take intentional steps to grow our faith. We must analyze our intentions, and we must act accordingly. So that brings me to the second practical way to grow your faith: discipline. We must have discipline, dedication, a desire to grow. There will be a level of effort that we have to take on our part. The choices that we make in life are vital to our faith walk. Every time we make a choice, we should ask ourselves this question: is this choice leading me closer to God, or is it pushing me farther away from God? Is this choice strengthening my faith, or is it having a negative influence on my faith? And we also need to evaluate our intentions. I mentioned this a little earlier. What are our intentions with our faith? Do we want to grow closer to God? Do we want to grow in our faith? And once we understand our intentions, we must act accordingly. Because one of the biggest things that holds us back from growing in our faith is good intentions. We may have good intentions for years, but if we never act on them, we're not actually taking any steps towards growing our faith. I'll give you a non-spiritual example. A few years ago, I opened up a retirement account, an IRA, and my intention was to deposit money into that account every year. I would save up throughout the year and I would make one big deposit every year. So needless to say, when that time of year came around, I made excuses. I would say, oh, I didn't save up enough. I need that money for something else. And when I looked at my account, my IRA account, it was not growing the way that I thought it should be growing. So I made a decision to create an automatic deposit. Every single month, money would automatically come out of my savings account and go into my IRA. I stopped having good intentions and I started taking disciplined actions. And when I looked at my IRA in the beginning of this year, I witnessed the cumulative effect of those individual monthly actions, and my IRA was growing the way that I wanted it to grow. I stopped making excuses. I started following through on my intentions. Now, I can tell you why I made excuses. One of the main reasons why I made excuses is because I valued my present. I valued the here and now. And it wasn't until I started valuing my future that I started taking action. And the same goes for our faith, except there's one difference. We should value the faith that we have now. We should not take our faith for granted. But if we want to grow our faith, we need to start focusing on the future. In other words, focus on eternity. The death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus has given us an opportunity for eternal life, for eternity. Jesus died on the cross so that we could have eternal life. That's very important. We need to focus on our future. The actions Jesus took during his ministry, every single step led up to that moment. It led up to his death, to his resurrection, and to his ascension. And we should hold on to that. And what was the cumulative effect of each and every single, what was the result of the cumulative effect of every single action that Jesus took over his 33 years of earthly life? He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, and he opened the access door to heaven for us, a door that was previously closed because of our sin. The cumulative effect of Jesus' ministry made him our Lord and Savior, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And that brings us to the third practical way for us to grow our faith. We fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. fix our eyes on the one who endured the cross and scorned its shame for us. Fix our eyes on the one who endured the opposition of sinners for us. Fix our eyes on the one who is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. Fix your eyes on the one who loves you, who cares for you, who will never leave you or forsake you, the one that is constantly with you, the one that will help you overcome your obstacles, the one that will help you grow your faith. Fix your eyes on Jesus and grow your faith in Jesus, because that faith will give you the confidence to keep believing, the courage to keep going, and the motivation to not give up.